lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In studying biblical church structure, there's many things that we need to consider. And one of the things that we need to consider, or should I say, one of the people we need to consider is the pastor. Now, we've looked at some things, if you followed along with us, and we've looked at some of the qualifications and prerequisites to be a pastor. And let me say that there are several things that a pastor, according to the scriptures, must meet, several things that pastor, that person who is the pastor of a local church, before that person becomes a pastor, they need to be able to meet the qualifications as outlined in the Word of God. Now, we've looked at several of those qualifications. First, I see that the pastor is to be blameless. That doesn't mean he's sinless. No one is sinless at this point in this old body. But one day we're going to be fashioned like our Lord's body. When this life is over that we know of right now, and we go into eternity, and I say eternity future, when we are raised incorruptible, that means no more sin. Well, the pastor is to be the husband of one wife, and many times we overlook the word husband. We major on several things other than the husband. That is a man. The pastor is to be a man, the husband of one wife, a female. Not the pastor is not the female. The pastor is the male, the husband of one wife. And then the pastor is to be vigilant. He's to watch out for the congregation. And then the pastor is to be sober. In other words, he's to be a serious person, not fanciful or speculative. What he does and say is based on facts and rational thinking rather than on speculation. And then he's to be one of good behavior. This means that he's a gentleman. He has good manners. He's not slovenly, sloppy in his appearance. And then we see he's given to hospitality. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, given to hospitality. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 8, says the same thing. And then we also see that he's to be one who is apt to teach. He's able to teach the Word of God and, in other words, the flock of God that God has placed him with. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. The pastor doesn't have to say what he thinks. What he does is present the word of God as it is to men as they are, and let God take care of the situations within each person's life. Well, it's up to that person who receives the Word of God, who hears the Word of God, to act upon what they hear. Some act favorably and some do not. And then we continue on and we see that a pastor is not given to wine. And 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3 says that, and also Titus chapter 1 and verse 7. Well, this would be one, and that's the pastor who does not drink wine. There's no excuse for this of drinking wine. And Paul here regards the use of wine as unacceptable in 1 Timothy and Titus. He views it, Paul does, as dangerous, and that pastors should avoid it altogether. And some, without question, always point to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23. It says, you know, they do this when a preacher is, it's said in the scriptures, to abstain from wine or strong drink. They use this in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23. It says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. This verse is not speaking here of wine as a beverage, but rather to use it for medicinal purposes. And then we see the pastor is not to be a striker. In 1 Timothy 3:3 and Titus 1:7, it says that. In other words, he must be a peaceable man who is not argumentative or quarrelsome. He just simply presents the Word of God as it is, and he lets God take care of anything that comes up that a person has a problem with. Well, then we see that the pastor is not to be greedy of filthy lucre. And that's money or anything else that he becomes lustful over, that he would become lustful over. But he's not to be greedy of filthy lucre. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3 and Titus 1, 7 again says that. The pastor is to be free from being caught up in placing gain ahead of shepherding the flock. We see this is especially the duty of a minister of the gospel. He is to be free from being caught up in placing gain ahead of shepherding, and when we see that he's doing this, he's not neglecting the flock. He's not placing anything ahead of the flock or of preaching the gospel. A pastor is not to be greedy. Paul told Timothy this in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. The pastor of a local church is to be content with what he accepts as remuneration from the congregation. He is to live of the flock. A pastor is to receive all that he needs to live for, that he is to survive by, and this would take care of him and his family. He's to be taken care of by the congregation. On the other hand, a man of God who is the founder of a local church may find it necessary to find secular work until the congregation is able to support him and his family. There's nothing wrong with that pastor working who has founded a local church until the flock of God can take care of him. And then the pastor is to be patient. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3 says that, and this means he's to remain calm when faced with difficulties. The pastor is to be capable of persevering, able to persevere calmly, especially when faced with difficulties. The pastor is not to be a brawler, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. The pastor is to have a peaceable disposition. We see this coming up in the other ones that I've already mentioned. He's to be a peaceable man. The pastor is not to be a quarrelsome man or to be argumentative. Remember, the pastor simply presents the Word of God. And if a person has an argument, then they need to take it up with the Lord, because the pastor is presenting the Word of God. Let that pastor understand that that person who wants to quarrel should not be quarreling with him, but he or she is to quarrel with God. Now, notice this. The pastor is not to be covetous. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3 says that. The pastor should not crave something that belongs to someone else. A pastor is not to be eager to possess things or eager to acquire things, especially possessions that belong to someone else. The pastor may possess the good things of this life, but not be possessed by them. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4 goes on to tell us another qualification of the pastor. It's one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Now, ruleth well his own house. Children in subjection. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4 says, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. And verse 5 says, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Well, this simply means that he governs his own house, and that's his family, with gravity. Now, to rule means the pastor is to use biblical principles to govern, to lead his family. He's not a dictator. Once again, he simply goes by the Word of God as to how he takes care of his home. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Well, not a novice. A pastor should not be someone who has recently been saved. In other words, he should not be a beginner. Someone who is not grounded upon the Word of God, that person is not to be a pastor of the local church. Someone who has recently been saved is not to be a pastor. Well, this does not mean a young person cannot be a pastor, but means a person who is a new convert, a person who is young in the knowledge of leadership and how to shepherd the flock of God. That person should not be called pastor. Novice means beginner. And we, as we think of this, Paul told Timothy something. This means, as he's speaking here, he's not talking about a person who's just been born again. He's talking about someone who's young, who has been born again for some time. Paul told Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And this is 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Well, Paul also instructed this, "Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins, but keep thyself pure." 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22. Nothing wrong with being a young man, a young person, man being the pastor of a local church, as long as that person is grounded in the Word of God. You see, no man should be called to the pastorate or deaconate carelessly or quickly before he has proved himself worthy. And 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." Well, that person who is a pastor not only needs to be grounded in the faith, grounded in the Word of God, but that pastor also needs to have a good report of those people who are without. In other words, must have a good reputation. Now, those who are without are those who are not Christians, those who look within. In other words, they look into a church, they look at a pastor, and that pastor is to have a good report of those who are not saved. A good report means a good reputation as a saved man. Well, we're not finished with the qualifications yet. There's more in Titus chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, "For a bishop," and this is interchangeable once again with the word pastor, "for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre." Well, not self-willed, and once again, not a man who holds to his own stubborn determinations. And when we think of this, a pastor is not to have stubborn determination to hold to personal views and behavior. He must have a determination to hold fast to his profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 says this, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Holding fast the profession, that's holding fast the salvation that God has given. Holding fast the Word of God that God has given. Standing on the Word of God. Giving the Word of God out to those individuals who are to hear the Word of God. Everyone in this world is to hear the Word of God. The unsaved hear it in order to know that Jesus saves. The saved are to hear it because they know they've been saved, and they know that Jesus Christ is alive and well, and because he is alive and well, that each of us who are saved, we are to be serving him to our fullest, giving him what we have of our lives to help other individuals, whether saved, these people are saved or lost, helping the saved to grow in the grace and knowledge, helping the unsaved to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I pray today that you do know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If not, you need to call upon him today. "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior." Do that now. Ask him to save you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.